Good morning. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker here this morning. Taking your calls. I'm going to talk a little real estate today. We appreciate all our listeners. 866-442-7553. 71307 will be the text line. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. All excited.
What are you excited about?
Well, you know, this and that.
A little bit of everything, huh?
It's all good.
It is good. It is. Chris is, he's on a Valentine's getaway.
Good for him.
Making us all look bad.
Andrea holds the fire.
She books it. She books it. Chris follows suit.
Yeah, that's right. Andrea will step in and make a reservation.
She will. I think they went to the Highlands this weekend. So
beautiful.
Yeah, should be.
And a good weekend to do it.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to, I think we're going to get a lot of rain this week.
What'd you do Valentine's Day? Did you do right?
We did Valentine's Eve.
You know, I always think of, now, Valentine's Day, I always think of John Humphreys. You know, you send that email.
He used to send that email. Yeah, John, if John's listening, John has dropped the ball. You're the third person I've had that conversation with.
Yeah.
Our good friend John Humphreys over at WYFF used to always send out an email.
About 2 weeks early.
I'd say about the third week of January. Yeah. And he would say, gentlemen, if you have not made your Valentine's reservations, you need to do so today.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it fills up. But I'll tell you this. We had a good friend of ours. Their son and Drew are the same age, and we see them now and again. You see them at church and all that. And they wanted to go out to dinner. And we just decided to go Valentine's Eve, the four of us. You know, we've been married long enough now where you can just go with other people.
Right.
Anyway, so we actually went to Rick Irwin Seaside.
Yeah.
And I booked a table, open table, about a week before.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad. We had to go a little early, 6:15, but it wasn't bad. That actually worked out good. You know, Drew goes to church on Wednesday night, so it just
worked out.
Believe
it or not, I saw John Valentine's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I saw he and Anita at dinner.
Yeah.
So we went to the club for.
I went there last night, as a matter of fact. We got to go, and it was hopping up there. Of course, you know, everybody's in the men's grill right now. It's kind of crazy, yeah.
With renovation.
Yeah, but it was good. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a rainy day. A good day maybe to watch some golf and some college baseball and maybe a little basketball. I'm going to relax today. Should be a
easy
good
day.
Weekend. Yeah, absolutely. So, so you had a good Valentine's?
It was good. Yeah, Mary and I had a nice dinner, and Bennett did a good job on his own with his mother. You know, when your son gets to the age that they do Valentine's for your mother without you having to tell them to do it.
There you go.
Then you've conquered another milestone.
Yes, that's big.
So he got her a card and got her some candy, and I didn't have to chase him around to do it.
Yeah, good. So I'm still chasing Drew. He's... You know, but
it'll take some time.
It will. 13-year-olds aren't thinking about their moms on Valentine's. I'm not sure what 13-year-olds are even thinking about, to be quite honest with you, but that's a whole nother story for another day. So anyway, well, here we are, Keith, in the middle of February, and we've got the January numbers. We're not going to talk about them just yet.
Just to say that they're shocking numbers.
Shocking numbers.
And if you'll want to hear these numbers and
listen,
know what's happening,
attendly.
get our opinion about what's happening in the market and what we think is going to happen in the future, which, of course, we don't know. But we're going to give you our thoughts and some of the implications of those changes.
Should I tell Andrew to queue up REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It as we head into this break? Because, these were shocking, to say the least. And we've got Charleston numbers as well, which, you know, were a little bit surprising as well. So we'll give those numbers and give some feedback on what we think it's saying and that sort of thing.
And how you should be reacting.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of people with houses for sale, and, you know, there's been a lot of confidence in the market on being able to sell your home very quickly and move to the next place. And I've got some great articles, 5 predictions from ARC MI, which is one of our mortgage insurance companies that we get information from. And most of this is national data, and we'll talk a little bit about the difference between, you know, Greenville, we feel, and the national, you know, market in general.
And, JD, what I find surprising about all this is since the merger with the bank, since the big bank economist – and the big organizations, they have a pretty good handle on what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Most small organizations don't have the resources to make those predictions, but the smart
Yeah.
Well-educated economists that work for the big banks, they usually have insight that we do not.
You're correct, correct. Well, listen, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to head into our first break. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We're going to open up our phone lines, 866-442-7553. That's toll-free, 866-442-7553. And the text line is open as well at 71307. Shoot us a text if you have a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, 71307. We'll be back right after this. That's the number. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker, 866-442-7553. Give us a call today. We would love to talk to you about the real estate market here in Greenville, or nationally for that matter, 866-442-7553. And the text line is open as well at 71307. If you've got a question or comment you would like to share via text, we would love to hear from you today. And, well, Keith, we might as well jump right in, okay? I hope everyone's sitting down. The numbers are out, and they are ugly.
They're very surprising, aren't they,
yes,
J.D.?
Yes, they are. So let's talk about Greenville first compared to last year. So how did we do in January, Keith?
651 closed transactions over last year's 814. That would be down 20% from last year.
Wow. That's a lot.
Very surprising.
Yes, very surprising.
Now, do we read anything into it? Do we?
It's one
it's
month.
Way too
it's
early
January.
To really talk about any kind of trend or. Although we know that last year nationally, if you look at three sections of the country, it was down in terms of activity.
It was. Yes, it was.
So much like we always kind of think back of 2006, November of 06, yep. When the November of 07, the market had already turned around the country. And I can remember saying, well, this just doesn't look like it's going to affect us like it has around
yep.
the country.
Yeah.
And sure enough, in November of 2007, we saw that statistical change, maybe like we just saw here, maybe not, a little too early to tell. But it seems to come to us late.
Yes, it does.
Or delayed.
And let's talk about Charleston real quick as far as number of sales.
Yeah. So in the Low Country, and of course it's the Low Country MLS is five counties now down on the coast.
Right.
There were 942 transactions over last year's 1,121 transactions. And that's down 16%. Now, I really probably should have thrown in the median price in Greenville. And in Charleston, median price is $265,000 over the previous year's $258,000, which is up 2.7%. So pricing is still high
yep.
and still going up, although at a much slower rate.
Sure.
Now, first, you can't really any trend on median price, but in Greenville, the median price was $210,000, and that's up from $191,000 over last year. That's up 9.9%. Again, not to put any real weight on that at all, but affordability has become a little bit challenging, particularly for the millennials. And now, there's going to be some implications of all that. You know, what does that mean? How does it affect the buyer? Will the pendulum begin to swing back from the seller towards the buyer a little bit? I would say in the short answer, it maybe go back
yes.
to neutral. But I really don't see that in our market.
You might be right. I will say this. You know, I remember December of 2018 when we were sitting in this booth.
Yes.
And we were making our predictions for the next year, and my original prediction was down 1 or 2%.
It was, yep.
And then you revised it. And then you talked me out of that.
That's right.
Because we're big, bad Greenville, and everybody's yep. moving, and millennials. Yep. Yep. And then we all both kind of agreed maybe we'll sell 1 or 2% more.
That's
but
right.
it should be about flat is what yep. we were thinking. I tell you, when you come out in the first quarter, go down 21-0, it's hard to recover. Okay, and we're not in the first quarter. We still have two more months. But the other statistic that you told me during the break is the one that, and I'm not sure exactly what this number is.
It's called pending sales.
Yeah. Okay. Down 50%. Keith, that's a huge number.
But I'm just not going to put any weight in any of this in the first month of the year. Our market is strong. It continues to grow. People move here. Our growth rate is higher than most markets.
Right.
And people continue to migrate. The corporate market is strong, and I just see our market continue. I'm bullish on real estate in the upstate.
I don't disagree with that. I just don't know. I think maybe our numbers I think we're going to have a
time for an adjustment.
Yes. That's probably the best way to describe it. Our market's still good. I just have a feeling that we have had, record year after record year after record year times six, I believe it is.
Five or six.
And it's just time for an adjustment. And even if we go back a little bit, it doesn't mean that the market's done.
Remember last year's activity was a record year. The previous year's activity was a record year.
Yep.
The previous year's activity was a record year. You're talking about surpassing 2007 numbers for three consecutive years, maybe a fourth one.
Yeah.
And the trend of increases has actually been six, I think.
Yep. Yep.
So
yeah, that's right.
It took several years to reach the 2007 numbers.
Yep.
And then once we reach the 2007 numbers, we've set record years each year. So.
Well,
not to worry.
No, not to worry. And I think we both can agree that the millennials are the ones who are really going to drive the market.
They are in the game now.
Yep.
Back in the home buying mindset. But their demographic profile and their view of housing is dramatically different than the previous generation.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, affordability has continued to rise. Now, I will say interest rates short-term, I'm talking about the last 60 days, have continued to drop.
Yeah,
which is kind
that?
Of an interesting phenomenon. We have had, 30-year fix. I liked a VA loan yesterday, actually quoted a VA loan in the high threes.
It's just remarkable
money,
to me.
So the affordability has eased a little bit. It's been a little better here the last, 60, 90 days. I'm not sure that's really a trend, but it'll be very interesting to see. We're coming 2007, 2008 now was over 10 years ago. There's a lot of recession talk out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, Chris will tell you right up front that a recession is right around the corner. I just don't see that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Well, if you got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we would love to hear from you today, 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307. And, Keith, we talked a little bit about sort of the, the jumbo market, you would call it, or the trophy home market, or however you want to describe it. And, houses, transactions over 600,000 were, 25?
Yeah,
is that what
roughly.
You said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and over a million.
Four.
Yeah. So, I think you're right. You've talked about this for some time. That particular market, I think you'll see really soften up.
Yeah, stress a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the baby boomers, they have all the money. Okay, they've accumulated.
But they're not buying those homes.
No, they're selling those homes.
Yes.
No, the baby boomers are coming out of the trophy home business.
Yep.
But there's not a large group of people or buyers behind them to absorb all those very large homes that they purchased over the last 15 years, really.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
Now, my understanding is this generation coming out, the children that grew up with the phone in their pocket from day one, right? So the first generation who grew up with a phone in their pocket as soon as they could use it, six, 7 years old. We didn't give Bennett his till he was 12 or 13.
Well,
but a lot of families do.
I'm with you, yeah.
A lot of families do because it's so easy. You just throw them the phone in the back seat. You won't hear a word out of them, right?
Right.
On a 6-hour trip, my generation was, Dad, are we there yet?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you just hand them a phone.
And they can play games or do whatever they want to do.
They won't come up for air for 6 hours.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. I'll be curious. That townhome, condo, entry-level home price point, you know, almost kind of a sandwiching of the market. I think you'll see that be very competitive. You'll see prices rise, and then at the top of the market, it may be, you know, tamped down a little bit, you know, as far as pricing goes. It'd be interesting to see, you know, how that works out. It'll be, I can tell you from a personal perspective, each of the clients that I talked to this week that I pre-qualified and things like that, I'd say 90% plus were millennials that were, or first-time home buyers that were buying in that really 120 to 175, you know, range.
And the most challenging market. Now, I had an article, saw an article a few weeks ago that said that the production builders are going to shift some emphasis into adding condo supply, mm-hmm. particularly for that group because they're marrying later. Mm-hmm. They don't need as much square footage. They're more sensitive. They'd rather do things than have things.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
So they're not so focused on accumulating wealth through their principal residence. And historically, the American dream has always been to buy a nice house, and that would be the centerpiece of your financial portfolio.
Right.
And the younger generations today just don't see the house as important a part of their lives as they have in the past.
Yeah.
Now, we're just speaking in general terms because I'm sure that more than half of that the millennial generation view just the opposite. But mm-hmm. when you put that influence into the macro picture, it's going to move the needle a little bit on what the production builders are delivering. Because 5 years ago, the production builders would give you all the house you could buy and as much square footage as you can use. And the market was absorbing that. Now, it wasn't millennials and first-time buyers. It was that second, that move-up market who could buy significantly more house than they could previously.
And millennials are basically defined as like 1980, born in 84, 85.
I think that's right.
Through about 2002 or something, somewhere in that range. But I'll be very interested to see, you know, they make up what, maybe a third?
I think they're the largest group right now, 35-36% of the transaction.
That's substantial.
Significant.
Yeah, that's substantial. So, and like you said, a lot of the baby boomers now are sort of exiting stage left. They're taking their equity out of their trophy homes, and they're buying the smaller
right
homes.
Right-sizing.
Yeah, right-sizing, as you call it. And you know, so it'll be interesting to see.
You know, I've got a client that's the a millennial with two children, and she is the daughter of a Michelin client from 1990 or 91.
Yeah.
And when we helped them buy their principal residence, she was just a little girl, and now I'm helping them buy their first home.
Wow.
And I did another one of the children, and one of them was interesting. One bought as much square footage as they could. They had, I think they have four children. But this younger couple is not so focused on square footage as location. They're willing to pay a little bit more. And believe it or not, you know, downtown Greer is jumping. You know, there's a lot of action in downtown
Greer.
There
is. Yeah, you're right.
And you're going to see more residential activity in that close to the downtown area.
Have you seen the plans that they have for Trade Street and that whole?
I've read an article, but I haven't studied them in detail, but I know they're pumping a lot of money in it.
They are. You know, and of course, Kevin over in Greer and those guys have been pretty heavily involved with, you know, the Greer market themselves. And, of course, County Bank just opened up a branch right there on Trade Street. And so they've seen the plans. You know, they're going to – it's going to be really nice.
Is some of that just going to be walkable, no street? Are they closing the street a little bit? Or
I don't think they're closing the street, but it's going to be a very similar to Main Street Greenville-type feel, but maybe even more walkable than
and
what you've you would
been,
find there.
You've loved Greer for a long time. You go to dinner in Greer, downtown Greer sometimes.
And
you're involved
all,
in a couple
seven,
of the,
that's the 7-Eleven theory, though. It's just closer and convenient.
But you also are involved in a couple of the charities in Greer, right?
I have
Greer
been.
Relief
yeah, and, I have been involved in the past. Yeah, but it's, you know, I'll say this. I can go to Greer, and I can get me a steak and, you know, that type of dinner. And it's about 30% less.
I was going to say that $68 ribeye is $39 in Greer.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We have a text question that just came through, so we'll talk and answer that when we come back. You're listening to House Plans, J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. When we come back, we're going to answer the text line. Phone lines are open too, 866-442-7553. And I'll share some information that we have from our mortgage insurance company on five predictions as we head into 2019 and what they see coming up. So we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Taking your text and phone calls today, 866-442-7553. And the text line is open at 71307. Keith, we do have a text question right up the mortgage alley here. It says, I have a VA loan application in with you at 4.25. When should I consider refinancing, and what is the point of interest on loans, and how is it calculated? Okay, so, so they've got a VA loan at 4.25. Sounds like maybe they're buying a home right now, which is good. And so basically the situation on that is, you know, VAs are a little bit different. So when you close a VA loan, you can refinance into what's called an IRRL, or an interest rate reduction loan, IRRL. And you can actually do those VA IRRLs anytime that your rate drops. And the only you can many times you don't have to get an appraisal. The income documentation is limited. There is a formula that they use. You have to save a certain amount of money and be able to recoup your money in a certain amount of time based on the closing costs and payment savings. In that situation, I would tell you that at 4.25, you probably would want to consider a refinance sometime when it got down into the mid threes. It would probably make sense depending on the size of the loan and that sort of thing.
So close but not there yet right now, yeah, is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, close but not there quite yet.
Maybe get on the watch. Get on your watch and keep your eye on them.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes, don't they, J.D., you might see them fall just one day.
It may be one or two days. Yeah, then it pops back. And what I would tell all our listeners is if you have a situation where – you know, we have a rate watch program where if we can determine, we look at your situation, we say, you know what, probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now, but if we get that 20-year down to 3.75, you probably want to pull the trigger.
Yeah, assuming you're going to be in the house a certain number of years.
That's right. And so we can put, you know, and I have people in there right now.
Sure.
We'll put them into the rate watch, and basically if that particular rate hits, we'll call you up and say, hey, we've got that 20-year money at 3.75 with, you know, no points or origination fees or whatever the situation may bear. And, you know, we can call you and let you know. And there's no cost or anything associated with that. It's just a service that we provide. And then you have the ease of not having to feel like you got to watch every, you know, every day what's going on. And like you said, Keith, many times it could be a 1 or 2 day type thing where it dips down and then, you know, it'll hop right back up or bounce back up.
Geopolitical, something happened
anything
globally.
Yes.
Knock them down for a day or two and then they pop right back up to what they have been historically.
That's right. The second question, or the second part of the question, is what is a point of interest on loans and how is it calculated? And what I believe they're asking in this situation is, you hear mortgage, hey, you know, we'll get you that rate with 1 point, or we'll get you that rate with a half of a point. And what you're doing in that situation is you're just prepaying the interest that would be figured on the loan. So, in essence, if you have a $100,000 loan, if you're going to pay 1 point, that's $1,000. If you're going to pay a half of a point, that's $500. And depending on how the math works, many times you'll save an eighth of a point or a quarter of a point. And usually what happens in that situation is if you're going to pay a point, you're going to get about a quarter in interest rate. Now, that's just a close rule of thumb, not exact. And you're going to make up that money in about anywhere between 60 and 80 months. And what that means is if you are going to pay $1,000 to in that 1 point on the loan, you're going to save X dollars a month, which would take about 60 to 80 months to recoup, if that makes sense.
Yep, so, and so if you're going to be in the house longer than 5-6 years, then it will be worthwhile.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. And
it's a math equation, really, right?
It is. And you know, I tell everyone, I'm not a big fan of paying points. A lot of times you'll see these internet lenders, especially these days, all these rates that you'll see, oh, they were offering 3.75 on a 30-year. Well, you know, and that's, that includes 2 points, you know, or whatever it might be. So you have to be careful when, you know, what are they really selling you? Hey, I'll sell you this brand new Toyota. This guy's got it for $40,000. Oh, well, I'll sell it for $35,000, but you got to put $5,000
down.
Yeah,
and that's the marketing arm of the mortgage industry, focusing on interest rates when many other variables should be considered and weighted.
That's correct.
Sometimes more importantly, and generally speaking, probably more important most of the time, right?
The
program and your approach. Versus the interest rate, the face interest rate of the loan.
That's exactly right. And one of the things I would say, too, is, you know, it's really how long do you plan on staying in the loan? You know, history tells us that 5 to 7 years is as long as most people will stay in their particular loan, be it a 30-year, 20-year, whatever it might be. So you have to, you know, you really have to sort of think about that. You know, one of the predictions that our mortgage insurance company shared with us this week, and this is kind of a national trend, but really should apply probably here, you know, in Greenville as well. And I'm trying to put my hands on the information, but basically it talks about people are going to be in their loans a lot longer. Longer loan life is one of their predictions for 2019 and below. They say loans with low mortgage interest rates will stick around on investors' portfolios longer than usual. And, you know, I tend to agree in that. And we've talked about that. You know, that guy who's got the 3.5% 30-year fixed, is he ever going to want to refinance that loan, or is he going to move because the new interest rates may be 5 or 5.5?
Not move because.
Right. That's exactly. Decide. Because
there's some inherent value in the interest rate. So if your payment's going to change a good bit based on the new interest rate, then you may or may not consider.
Well, I have the same payment and have a lot less house.
That's
or whatever,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So. You know, just something to think about there. And, of course, there's they came out with 5 predictions, Keith, for 2019. And, you know, their first prediction was that home prices will increase with only minor exceptions. And they've got some of those listed on here. Texas, they're saying, is on the way down, is one of the states
that, right?
Yeah, that they're talking about. But the Southeast, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama – were 5 of the states that they felt, you know, very strong about and felt like there would be increases in values, you know, over the short term.
Well, they're chasing people out of Illinois and New York and New Jersey, right?
They are, and it goes on to say, you know, retirement areas near water, metros popular with professionals and millennials. And they even drill down a little bit more on that and talk about, you know, areas that have a university, you know, and that sort of thing seem to be popular with, you know, some of the younger crowd.
Yep,
and
quality
that kind
of life.
And you know, I think Greenville, believe it or not, I would classify this as almost a destination for retirees.
It has become one, yes.
Houston, Sugar Land, Texas, the largest risk index in regards to potential price correction heading into this year. Second is San Antonio, so Texas had the top 2. I don't know a whole lot about either one of those markets off the top of my head, but kind of interesting there. We've talked about this on the show already. Millennials will drive the hottest markets, and that's where it goes on to talk about downtowns and vibrant areas near universities. And, boy, I'll tell you what, that right there is going to be the key. Yeah, I agree with you. Credit risk will increase. This is an area, Keith, that I really feel pretty strong about. We are seeing mortgage insurance rates fall in regards to that, and I think a lot of that is kind of in response to the affordability. We're seeing a lot of credit standards loosen. Debt to income ratios a little higher being accepted, loan to values being a little higher being accepted. I'm not going to say it's back to the subprime days that we experienced 10 or 12 years ago. We're not going there, stated income and all that. But they are changing a lot of those and loosening a lot of the standards for new buyers. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of goes as we head, you know, into 2019 and beyond. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We'd love to hear from you. 866-442-7553 is a toll-free number. 71307 is the text line. We appreciate our text about the VA question, and would love to hear from you as we head into the final break. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And we'll be back right after this talking real estate here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. All right, free calls. I hate to do it, but we're going to have to throw it out there. You think anybody's listening? I think everybody's sleeping in with the rain and everything.
Nah, they're listening.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a loyal audience.
They're tired.
Yeah, well, you know, calling in
shock
on the show,
you got to
get on hold. You got to sit there. You got to, yeah, no.
You sound like one of those old crotchety.
A lot of times when I'm listening, I want to call in, but I, you know,
you're just too lazy.
Give them the number. Yeah, sometimes I can't remember the number.
It is complicated. We've had people say that 866-442-7553.
You got to write it down if you're in the car. Where am I going to write it down? I can't remember it.
Don't text and drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. So, well, that's okay. We're here for entertainment.
We cover a lot of ground.
I think we just shock and awe them with the numbers in Greenville and Charleston. Everybody's got their eyes.
They're going home to put up a for sale sign, right?
Wide as saucers, and they're scared to death now. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to sell what I got. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh. So, well, look at there. Look at now. All of a sudden, the
phone's lit up.
Yep. Begging always works. For sure.
I've learned that.
Yeah, Chris would be proud of us with the begging. So, anyway, but we'll hop on the phone line here in just a second. We've got. Looks like we've got James on the line. Let's see if I got it here. James from Simpsonville. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
So I'm really just wondering, I'm looking to go onto the house market to sell my house in Simpsonville. And I've heard a lot of good things, I guess, about for sale by owner.
Sure.
And why would I choose that over a realtor?
That's a great question.
Or just a realtor over that, I guess.
That's like putting a Titleist Pro V1 on a T and handing Keith the new M5 to knock it out there.
Yeah, so. Of course. I would encourage you to do a little more research than you've done as you begin to map out your strategy for selling your home. And, of course, you always want to start with goals and objectives. Now, I believe a high-quality professional will earn their fee every time. Now, it has to be a high-quality professional who can give you the kind of advice, the kind of counsel, the kind of representation that you deserve, and they'll earn their fee. I always tell my clients, if I can't earn my fee, I don't need to be in the real estate transaction. So having said that, the for sale by owner market is the probability of you selling your home for sale by owner, I believe, is fairly low,
right,
statistically.
What?
So most homes that are for sale by owner end up being listed. And typically, my experience has been, in most instances, those listings, the sellers do not have a timeline, right? They're very flexible on timeline. Typically, they're less negotiable. The pricing is a little bit higher than it should be. And so there are a lot of challenges that the consumer doesn't see, what I usually refer to as below the waterline. Now, having said that, that's your home, and you can take the you can market it any way you want, right?
What price point are you talking about, James? Is it in a neighborhood, or is it kind of maybe in a little bit more rural Simpsonville?
It's in a neighborhood in city limits, and I'm looking around $230 to sell.
Okay, yeah, so that's a good price point. I would say that if you were going to do for sale by owner. Me personally, I think it'd be a great idea to list it with an agent. I just think I believe in the process, as long as it's a high quality agent. And if you need a referral for a high quality agent, we would be happy to give you some names maybe that you can interview and talk to.
And there are some resources online, of course, with the internet today that will give you some of the insight you need. But JD, you see it pretty regularly that when you see a for sale by owner transaction,
well,
it often has more turbulence.
From a mortgage perspective, it can have a lot of turbulence because you don't have professionals that are sort of driving the boat. But anyway, James, I would tell you, hey, listen, it sounds like your particular property could be one that you may could have some success with. As Keith mentioned, I can almost guarantee you that by if you have the right professional who's listing and marketing the property, it will sell much quicker and probably at a higher price than you would going the for sale by owner road. But, you know, the choice is yours because
Absolutely.
It is your house. Yep. That's right.
So. Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem, James. Appreciate it. Well, listen, we've got Kevin on the line from who's on a cell phone. We'll go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. What can we do for you today?
My question is, I have owned a home, and I'd like to sell to downsize, but it doesn't appear that I'm able to. I'd like to have a lower payment, of course. Yeah. It doesn't seem that I'm able to do that right now. I've got an $800 mortgage, and it fits the budget right now, but I'd like to downsize in square footage.
Sure. The type of loan, tell me a little bit about the house that you're in now. What would you deem to be the approximate value and about your mortgage
how
size?
How much square footage are you trying to get rid of?
Well, I got 2,100 square feet with a full unfinished basement. I'd like to unload it for between 200 to 10.
Yeah.
It's in the Malden area.
Okay.
It's just too big for one person.
Yeah, sure. And so have you got some equity built up in the property?
I do.
Yeah, so.
Probably about $80,000, $90,000.
Yeah, okay. So now assuming that you sell that house, you're going to have that 80 or 90 that you're probably going to put towards the next house. Now, the only question, at that point becomes what type of loan are you going to do and how much are you going to buy on the next transaction? Keith, you know that market better than me.
Yeah, and what I think he's getting at, JD, is that he's got a lot of square footage at 200. He'd like to downsize or right size maybe, let's say, 1,600, maybe a split-bedroom ranch with a bonus, but he's probably going to have to pay 200 for that. That's
right.
The challenge.
Yes,
see?
That's correct.
Now, you're going to have a higher level of energy efficiency, probably more function, and in fact, if you bought that split-bedroom ranch, you probably have more of the usable square footage on the main floor than you do now. And so even though you're not going to price per square foot is going to be higher on the new home, you're probably going to be a little bit happier and maybe have more usable square feet, plus the energy efficiency, convenience probably of a smaller yard in the new home. So you're going to reap some benefits from the move if that's what you're trying to accomplish. May not financially benefit you a great deal, but in the long run, the other benefits of that home might be worth going through the pain and suffering of buying and selling.
Yeah, Kevin, what type of rate do you have on your mortgage now? Do you know?
3.125.
Yeah, so there's the prime
example.
There's
some value in the mortgage.
There's some value in the mortgage, so you're going to end up going, let's just say you do, another 30-year mortgage, you're going to be in the mid-fours, so you're going to give up a little bit like that. Without running the numbers, this is going, at 8:45 in the morning off the top of my head, but I would tell you that your payment should drop a little bit if you buy 200, put 80,000 down, maybe finance 120. I believe that your payment should be down just a little bit from that 800 that you're selling, but I don't think that you'll see substantial savings just based on the interest rate that you have now and what you would go to and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But Keith, all right. The positives that Keith brought up may be worth it and may not. That's just a decision.
Yeah, depends on another point. I assume, Kevin, what you're thinking about if you're a single person and you hope to be in this right size move indefinitely, right? Maybe this is your last house, you hope.
Right.
And so you may want to go ahead and typically I would say go ahead and put that action in motion because that right sizing move is only going to get more expensive. Now your home's going to get more expensive too, but sooner rather than later is probably the smarter move.
Yeah.
Because interest rates, if interest rates go up, now we've been saying that for 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah, right.
Who would have thunk that interest rates would be what they are today? But if they go up for whatever reason, then it probably would block you out of making that move, right?
Unless you wanted to spend more money per month, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, I think sooner rather than later, probably the right approach.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a revenue neutral move for Kevin. He's not going to, you know, but he'll have a house that he's more satisfied with than what he has right now.
I don't think financially he's going to save money and get a right-sized house that he's going to be happy with just based on what he has right now, like you said. But I do feel that the benefits from what he wants to do can be accomplished by the move, and have the same amount of money, you know, outgo each month. But, you know, his motivation may be the payment.
Yeah,
you know,
his quality of life. Right,
yeah, that's right. Him. So I understand, you know, that too.
He's got to heat and cool that bigger house, you know, they maintain it, smaller house, newer house, less maintenance, less better energy efficiency.
Well, the other thing that I'll say, too, to Kevin is I don't know how old he is, but it sounds like he may be, you know, in his 60s, let's just say, or something like that. If he's got that much equity in the property, he could always consider a reverse mortgage as well.
True. Yep.
If that was his payment, if payment was his motivator, and with that much equity, he would probably qualify. And there are a lot of different options. Maybe on the reverse mortgage, it may or may not make sense for him, but something he may want to consider on that as well. So, anyway, so all right. So we've got one question here: first sale by owner is like inviting burglars and home invaders to come case your house. I won't consider a FSBO because the owner might be a Tide Culip. Well, I don't know about all that, but yeah, that's
one of my colleagues speaking there, I think.
It might be. Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, but they've got, you know, I'll say this. I have been seeing more success by having a high quality listing agent sell someone's home as opposed to someone who goes the for sale by owner route. It's just it's a steeper hill to climb. That's probably the best way to describe it.
I agree, JD.
Anyway, well, listen, guys, appreciate the show. Kind of flew by today. Felt like it kind of went pretty fast. Keith, I want you to mull on these numbers, okay? I want you to think long and hard about these numbers over the next week. And next week, I'm going to give you a chance to revise your predictions for 2019.
All right.
I want to hear what the master Keith Clark thinks about this.
I can tell you right now, I'm not faint of heart, JD. I'm going to stick with what I got.
Well, hold tight. I want you to sleep on it for a couple of days.
Brought me to the dance.
I want to see Chris's reaction. We need to hit Chris with this next week.
He'll be in shock.
He will be in shock. So, hey, you've been listening to House Plans. Appreciate all our listeners, texters, and callers. We'll be back next week. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker here on House Plans. We'll see you.